Y duermes.
Normally history is the boring subject, but that's in school. They speak about European history. Islamic history is very unique because it's a living thing. You can really go into those wars to see the Muslims on the brink of defeat worldwide. No one having hope. And at that time you see one Muslim leader speaking to a Mongol. At that time with the Mongols, no one dared to ever tell them, get lost. And here you had one Muslim leader saying, get lost. He said, are you not going to give up? He said, no, I'm telling you, I'm coming to fight. Get ready. And he laughs, that Mongol, he laughs. He says, you really want me to tell my master that? He says, do you know what he'll do to you? It was like that. But there will always be certain people who Allah will create with so much of himmat, so much of courage, that they themselves will become amazed at how come they were so courageous. For Allah has taken the responsibility to protect his deen. For that Allah will always use and create people. The Saifuddin, he never thought when he was a young child, one day he would be instrumental in creating the greatest opening for Islam. Because he was the first barrier of the Mongol attack. Everyone at that time was saying, it's only the Mahdi who can save Islam now. Only the Mahdi. And this man showed that Islam doesn't wait for a Mahdi. Allah will bring people when He wants to. So a person when he's young, he must never ever think, I can't be used. A person must show Allah Tabarakallah he's ready. And then it is the kindness of Allah who he chooses. And he gives him strength, he gives him inspiration, he makes it happen. But one thing these people in history had, they had a sentence that I am not going in search of worldly victory. He says, if I die in this path, at least I had an answer to give to Allah. And if I am victorious, then I will look for martyrdom somewhere else. They never went looking for worldly victory. If I am victorious, I will look for martyrdom somewhere else. So a few weeks ago we spoke about the masajid. We spoke about the adhan, how to respect the adhan and the meaning behind that adhan. Then we spoke about coming to the masjid. How Allah Tabarakallah wanted a man to understand that outside the masjid is different from inside the masjid. So he had a dua written, a dua thought, that you have to read this dua before entering. But when reading it, it means think about it. That, oh Allah, open for me the door. So naturally you ask, what door? Which means that I am in one place where the mercy of Allah is not. And now I am asking to enter where the mercy of Allah is. So because I'm asking for the door to open, I have to behave different also. I am going from one area to another. The mother says to the child, you know where we're going? That uncle of yours, behave. Here you say, Allahumma aftah, Allah open. At that time, first adab of the masjid was that the nafs wala yastarsilu inda dukhulihi. The nafs should not be loose when you are entering the masjid. Meaning if you put it on a leash, then you have looked after the masjid. Put it on a leash. It must not be loose. You will not enter here and take your cigarette. You will not enter laughing. You will not enter with the left hand. You will not walk with dirty clothes, dirty shoes. You will understand this is a masjid. So that adab we mentioned. He said three adab were the basis of the masjid. That was adab number one. Before entering, understand you're going somewhere new. Before entering, understand you're going somewhere new. Adab number two. To keep the masjid clean from anything that can create a person feeling uneasy. to keep the masjid clean from anything that could make someone or the angels feel uneasy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself would not eat a raw onion, garlic, raw. He said, I do not say it's haram. He says, but I converse with someone who you don't converse with, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. He said, Jibreel doesn't like this. He doesn't like it. But then he did tell his companions, if you have to ever eat from these bushes, meaning anything that gives out a smell which is like not liked by people, he says, then remember the angels, they also feel uneasy from that which makes man feel uneasy. يَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ الْإِنسِ. What a word he used. يَتَأَذَّى أَذِيَتْ. أَذِيَتْ means to be hurt, to take pain. An angel can never be hurt, you can't punch it. But when someone who loves you says, you hurt me, why you did that? He said, the angels can't stand it when you come like that. So to avoid entering the masjid with anything that will make someone feel uneasy, or doing something that makes someone feel uneasy. So it could be a small paper that you just dropped. Small. And another person saw that small paper. He lifted it up. One dropped it. One lifted it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uridat alayya ujur ummati." The rewards that will be given to my ummah were presented to me. This is like to make him happy. That we are going to pay your ummah a lot. We are going to pay your ummah. So normally at that time, you're not going to show every action. But one action that was shown on that day was, that if any person in your ummah has to lift up a small straw, حَتَّى الْقَذَاتِ. Qadat was a straw, it was not napak. It was not impure. It never have to be taken out. It's like that small white thing you'll see on the carpet. If it's there, it's not going to spoil anything. But the man just said, this is the house of my Allah. So he picked it up. Qadat. And then he took it out and he left it outside on the grass. Such a small action. No one saw what he was doing. No one saw. He only took it out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the reward of that action was shown to me. That how my Allah will be so happy with his slaves who will show respect to his masjid. People who became very great in the past, many of them in their lives, they would record that they cleaned the masjid. That's all. Even it was one occasion, some dirt was in the masjid, they took it out. They were not the cleaner of the masjid. They saw some dirt, they looked around, there was no one. They themselves went and they cleaned it. They cleaned it. In the past, you could clean it by just taking the sand and throwing it on top. So the dirt goes down. That was also cleaning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the masjid. And he sees on the wall there is some dirt. That dirt maybe someone spat. Because at that time there was no carpets. So sometimes you want to spit in the sand. And then if you take the sand and you cover it, then it's okay. But it's not a nice place to sit, spit. But sometimes that phlegm comes out, so you need to take it out, and you're in the masjid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't ever spit in front, because you are speaking with Allah. Said, if you have to, then to your left hand side. And if you spit and you take out the dirt in a cloth, even better. Said, but if you have to drop it on the ground, then cover it immediately. Cover it. But maybe on that occasion, someone spat, and he never realized it, never fall, it actually hit the wall in front. And when it touches that wall, it actually like stays there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered and on the wall he saw that. And you must remember his nature was so pure. So he became upset, angry. His face started changing. A Sahabi saw it, he quickly went. And they brought something to clean it. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started getting calm. He was very angry. He said, do you not know who you're speaking to? Like, that Allah is in front and you spit like this. So scholars mention this narration. Then next to it, they mention another narration. That a person came to the masjid. He came and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to give him dawah. He had a need to go toilet. Because he was a man not understanding what's a masjid. So instead of asking them, I need to go toilet, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam busy on one side. So he just went on the other side and then he lifted up slightly his lungi and he started urinating. So you don't become naked, but you can immediately realize, hey, what is doing? So immediately someone stood up to say, what are you up to? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped him, like, just hold on. Now imagine Sahaba at that moment, you stop them and they're looking at that urine, and sometimes when you want it to stop and it's not stopping. That man was just carrying on. And then when he finished, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told someone, go clean that thing immediately. Go clean it. Then he called him, said, how are you? Then he said that, you know, this is a masjid. Certain things are not appropriate in the masjid. So this person said, what a teacher, like, what a teacher. So scholars mentioned that if he allowed that sahabi to go for that person urinating, he said, why did he stop? Because if he had to make him go for that person, two things would have happened. Either that man would have like got shocked, what? And you hold your urine. And holding your urine is not good for the body. Or that man would have started running, and he would have missed even more. So they mentioned perhaps that's the reason. Others mentioned no. The reason was, this man never know what is a masjid. So at the moment, you're not supposed to shout him. Let him finish what he's doing, and then you will now teach him what's the masjid. Even if what he was doing was dirty. So they say, look at urine. Totally impure. Look at the dirt of the mouth, not impure at all. Only you feel uneasy. But for the dirt of the mouth, he became so upset. And for the urine, he remained so calm. He was a Nabi of Allah. For him, someone messing the masjid, it is you messing the house of my Allah. He's supposed to get raped there more than he got here. So scholars write, this was what is known as a unique teacher. That a teacher has to be able to deal with every level of his students. So the small student, he might be able to do something and the teacher will laugh. And the big student does the same thing and the teacher becomes upset. That is what is called a teacher. Because you have to go according to the level of your student. That's one. Is it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was dyed in the dye of Almighty Allah. Meaning, what is the zat of Almighty Allah's manner of dealing with slaves? He taught it. Which means when Almighty Allah will look in this ummah, sometimes a man might urinate in the masjid and Allah tabarak ta'ala will put him in Jannah for that. And sometimes a man might only spit in the masjid and he might go in Jahannam for that. He might say on the day of Qiyamah, it's not fair. Who are you going to tell it's not fair? Allah is Allah. He says, he never know what my masjid is, you knew. He never know what my masjid is, you knew. Sometimes a mistake the people of what we call piety make is we look at those people who we regard as not pious. And we look at them and we say how far they are. How far? But because they are so far, sometimes if they just do one good action, it's not a law this. You don't become bad and do one good action. Doesn't work like that. But when you're looking, a prostitute gives a dog water to drink. And on that act, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gives her paradise. A prostitute gives a dog water. One dog, not even her dog. Another woman known for her worship. But she doesn't let the cat out to go and get its own food, nor is she giving it food. She makes an error in the right of one cat, but she fulfilled the rights of Allah. That woman broke every right of Allah and fulfilled one right of a dog. One got forgiveness, one got punishment. When we will look at the world, never ever look at one who is far and say how far they are. Because one action of theirs can get them very close to Allah. When a person feels he's pious, he must be very worried about small actions. Because one mistake of ours can make us go very far from Allah. The spit was not impure, but it was done by someone who already knew the adab of the masjid. Someone who sat with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam should not have done that. That is why he became upset. That Allah will get angry with you. How could you do this? As for the other one, he never knew. When the mashayikh started the i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan and they opened it up for what is called the general people. Before that, i'tikaf was for the pious. Every masjid you would go in Ramadan, one, two people. And if they found no one, they would pay the muazzin. They would pay the muazzin. Then it became like a job. You know, in one place the imam wrote to the mutawallis. He says, don't you know that someone must search for i'tikaf? Don't you know? And if no one searches, the whole town is a sinner. So he says, I'm ready to search. But it'll cost you all so much. Cost you all so much. So the mutawallis are like shocked, like number one. We pay the imam so much now again, bonus for him. It's called Ramadan bonus. So they asked another alim. The other alim said, the place is not yet a masjid, it's still a musalla. Like, what he's asking for? It's extra bonus. So once upon a time, no one was sitting. The muazzin could charge. I'll sit. Pay me so much. No one was sitting. Then came the time where the ulama opened it up. They'd come to the masjid. Come for 2 days, 3 days. But naturally, when you tell come, who's going to come? Hectic guys are going to come. The guy who wants to make tawbah, he doesn't know where. So when he comes, he's going to come with his crisp and his cola. For him, the masjid is like we listen to the bayan, make Allah, Allah, and then have chow after that. So the next morning, the person who was in charge of the masjid was upset. It was a Monday morning, so Sunday night was a big crowd. He was so upset. He said, get them all out of here. Get them all out. Look what they did to the masjid. Then the sheikh of the masjid said, that you saw it's dirty. He said, very dirty. Go clean it. Go clean it. Like, what? You left it. How could you leave it dirty? Go clean it up. That person was so upset. Like, get them out. And the sheikh said, go clean it. He was making amal on this narration. That you saw the urine. Go clean it quickly. As for the person, bring the person to me. I'll speak to the person. You clean the urine. I'll speak to the person. This is how they would win. This is like how mashayikh then put themselves in that color of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if a murid of that sheikh now, he had to see those people party. And then he said, hey, they had a top night and the sheikh just laughed with them in the morning. So the next day he orders also. You see his chicken and his cola coming. And the sheikh is looking and says, what's this? He says, Hazrat, I ordered, you know, I don't tandoori chicken. Then you just see the sheikh's face changing. Now he will say, ha. That, what's the difference between me and them? I ordered the same. I'm not even missing the masjid. He said, the difference is you can't do what they can do. You can't do what they can do. Hassanatul abrar. Abrar is a word called pious. Mukarrab means very close to Allah, even higher than the pious. They said, Hasanatul Abrar, the piety of the pious, their actions which make them pious, those actions for the Muqarrab will be regarded as a sin. But how could you do this? Everyone's level is different. When we will go out, look at people and understand, I am not the judge. Because everyone's level, Allah knows. I must worry about how Allah looks at me. I must worry how Allah looks at me. So adab number one, the dua. Understand where you're coming. Adab number two, do not ever do something in the masjid which makes people put off. And if you see something in the masjid, lift it. Even if it is not impure. Because think that when it was presented to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what I will reward your ummah. Quridat alayya ujuru ummati. The rewards for my ummah were presented to me. That straw which a man takes out of the masjid, I saw that small straw, I saw that huge reward. Remember, a man picked up one straw. Allah Tabarakala looked at it, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. That he only picked up that straw. He wasn't hired as the muazzin, as the cleaner of the masjid. No one was paying him. No one saw him. Why he picked it up? He only picked it up to please me. That's all. A man lifted one paper. On that paper was the name Allah. He took it home. He cleaned it. He put a little itar on it. In the night, someone had a dream that he honored my name. Now we will honor him. He honored my name. Now we will honor him. The man's whole life changes. One man can pick up from the masjid one small dirt. And Allah Tabarakta can announce, ulama have written this, that when Allah rewards, it is called, as your action is, will be the reward. It is called the same jinns, the same type. And they give a lot of examples for it. I'll give you one example here. You cleaned my house, so I will now clean your house. You cleaned my house. Meaning as though Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, you cleaned the masjid. You cleaned my house. So now I will clean your house. The house of man is the heart. That is where everything comes and settles. The house of man. You cleaned my house. Now I will clean your house. Comes who builds a house for Allah. Allah builds a house for him. One house gets built in Jannah. One house gets built in this world. The house of independence. That you're not needing anyone else now for a roof. We will give you a roof. Meaning we will make you independent of the world. The next time you see any dirt in the masjid. Any dirt. Even if it is not napak, impure. Think of this. Such a reward is being written that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shocked when he saw it. You clean my house. Now I will clean your house. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let's make the dhikr of Almighty Allah. I'll just put on the light 1 minute. Today I will teach you all one sunnah, which is like a sunnah forgotten in many parts of the world by most people. This is called the sunnah of counting. So I will show you all only 1 to 10 now. And you will try and get this, remember this. And then slowly, slowly we'll go to 20, 30, 40. But it's a thing of practice. So it's called addul anamil. Counting with the fingers. So normally when we count, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never counted like that. And normally it doesn't affect because we got the counter nowadays, you just touch, touch, or you got a tasbih. But it is nice to know, or at least some people must know. So in the ahadith, when you see a number, 10. Now you'll understand, why is this 10? Like, how did this become 10? So we're going to learn, it's a little hard at the beginning. But once you come to 10, then everything becomes easy, but it needs a little practice. A little practice. On the finger it needs practice. And then in the mind. So how you start it, you always try to keep these two fingers out. Meaning you all got nothing to do with counting. So you all stay out. So we push them that side and you're trying to keep those three. It's not necessary that they must be stuck in this one. There's no pain in this, yeah? It's just to show that these two guys are out of the issue. And those three, they are going to be used for counting. So if I want to make one, I'm taking this finger and I'm trying to put it here, as close as possible. You see, my other finger also goes. But doesn't matter because I know what's happening. If you can't get it right there, you get it a little bit there. But it's one. Then when the second guy goes, he's two. And this is three. So one, so fingers up. One, two, three. You see, you go much faster when you go faster because that second guy already wants to count. When the first one goes, he's right behind. So it's a natural counting, one, two, three. Because imagine you read one and the other one you not hit, that finger will say, hey, say subhanallah. You know, how long am I going to wait here now? I need to go down. So that's why it helps. One, two, three. Four. But now you're lifting up small guy. Five. Now what will six be? Because if you lift up the last guy, there's nothing left. You like the beginning, isn't it? So let's go to five. One, two, three, four, five. So number six is drop this guy and lift that guy up. So we'll stop on this one, right? We'll try this. Next week, remind me for more. One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay? I'll practice it and my hand is painting already. Someone can get it nice in the jalsa, we'll make him stand up and count for the ummah numbers. One, two, three, four, five, six. Because majority of the ummah don't know how to count. It is like a sunnah that has been forgotten. It is only in the hadith you will see this number, that number, that number. Nabi Islam showed this number. And the man wonders, like, how is this number? So ulama have mentioned it is a sunnah. Sunnah al-kifaya. That some people in the ummah must remember that this is the method in which my Nabi counted. One, two, three, four, five, six. So we'll keep it on that one. One, two, three, four, five, six. It's a little bit hard on our fingers, but maybe our small children one day, they'll get the right fingers also. One great scholar came to a masjid one day. He was a great scholar. He sat next to another great scholar. And normally after salah, you make tasbih, isn't it? But he saw different fingers going less. So he asked, what's this like? So the scholar said, this is how Allah's Nabi counted, don't you know? And he said, hey, I always wanted to learn it. I never thought people still do it. He said, we all do it. We count like that. It's so easy. So he said, can you teach me? And he said, the scholar then taught him. He said, it's not hard. But it's not hard, but it's hard if you don't do it. Right. So your hand don't have to touch the tip now. Islam hasn't been hard. But it just means drop, 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 left, left, and drop, 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 left, left. Easy now. This one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It becomes easy because where else number 6 is going to go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Got it? Let's go 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9. He wanted to go there, isn't he? He was going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He reached the top there. Now he's just reading the end. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, meaning you're pulling him till around here. Other guy is right behind him already, 8. Other guy is right behind, 9. Meaning you're trying to move to this flesh, 7, 8, 9. Correct, sir? Correct? So next week, inshallah, you will show me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is that comes in the hadith, 10. This is 10. Okay, so next time you score a goal, do this. If someone says, is that the jar? You'll say, no, 10. Say, what 10 is that? Like 10. You say, you don't know your numbers. Come on, teach you a sunnah. At least you can come out one higher. Right. Hands painting now, isn't it? Okay, Allah give tawfiq, inshallah, all of us to practice on the sunnah. Let's make it through.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله الله 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 استغفر 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 الله الذي لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. 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 سبحان الله وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.